Before we start today's podcast episode, I want everyone to know how important this movement is for me, this Black Lives Matter movement that has been occurring. And I've gone to a couple of events and protests myself, and I would really highly encourage anyone else to go as well. And I wanted to let the community know that they have my full support through everything through this, because honestly, there needs to be a big systemic change. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google George Floyd. And honestly, I don't know how you don't know what I'm talking about. But it's very important in my opinion. I understand if you don't go to events or protests because you're worried about coronavirus and your health. That is completely understandable, but in my opinion, it is more important than my health. So I've gone, and I'll hope that you follow my footsteps or at least other people's footsteps. So yeah. Anyway, I am hoping that next week I will be doing a topic that is about kind of what video games have done for this BLM movement. And also I'm hoping to interview someone and talk to them about how games in the past as well have kind of talked about Black Lives or even just the history of Black Lives or minorities in general. And the whole topic is in general going to be focused on the BLM movement, but of course we're going to be bringing in some video game aspects into this to still make it a video game podcast. So I really hope that you guys listen to that next week because it will be very important. On to the episode.
This is AF Cast, the video game podcast, and here's your host, Malcolm Shever.
Riot Games has never done anything like this before, and yet they have completely taken the cake. No one has ever really put all of these different PvP concepts together and been so successful. Now, this week on AFCast, we of course are talking about the brand new video game, Valorant. So first of all, I want to talk about the different modes that are in Valorant, because that way we can establish a base and work from there. So first of all, there is an unrated, which takes about 30 to 40 minutes, and it's considered the standard Valorant gameplay, where you swap between attacking and defending sites every 12 rounds, and the first one to win 13 of those rounds wins. And then you also have Spike Rush, which is lower stakes gameplay is what it's considered, where it's the same rules as unrated with also adding like these weird power-up orbs where they can give you a new and better weapon, and then also they can make you do more damage and a couple other things. And it gives you completely randomized weapon loadouts every time that you spawn in. And everyone, I'm pretty sure, has the same loadout. And it's the first of four rounds wins. And this is very quick. This is 8 to 12 minutes. And honestly, it feels faster than that, in my opinion. But so essentially how the game is set up is there are four different maps at the moment. And each map has at least two bomb sites. There's only one map that has three. And essentially, you have an attacking side and a defending side. So the attacking side is trying to plant an explosive known as the spike on the bomb sites. So usually you just have A and B, and then on the one map you have A, B, and C. So obviously the defending team is trying to deny you that privilege of, not privilege, but but you know what I mean, of trying to get that bomb onto the site. So that is your entire objective throughout. Also another thing about the maps is that it's just like the maps look really good. Like they just in general, the graphics and stuff in general in the game is very cartoonish. So it's just like, so the maps are really well designed, in the first place. For the actual gameplay, and then also just how they look is really well done as well. But they really thought about all their characters and how they will apply to the maps, which you'll see later on, as I, or hear later on as I explain through them. Another thing I want to talk about is kind of just the simplicity of controls. So obviously you have WASD, you have shooting, and then you also have aiming, which has to do with alternative fire, which we'll talk about later as well. But you also have shift, which usually is like a sprint in the game, but in this case, it is actually considered a walk. So you are actually usually sprinting in the game, so you're usually running around is what it's considered, even though it really doesn't feel like it. And if you press shift, you actually walk, which is extremely slow, it's extremely quiet. While you're running, quote-unquote, you are actually very loud, and you can be heard from a very far distance, so you want to be careful how and when you're walking, and running, obviously. And then you have control, which is kind of your crouch, and then obviously you also have a jump as well, which is your space bar. And then everything else just has to do with abilities or the weapon itself. There's nothing too complex about it. I mean, you've got like 1, 2, and 3. So you've got 1 for your primary, 2 for your sidearm, and 3 for your knife. And I'll go into that stuff later as well. And yeah, so kind of how this is built is you have the same economy system that you have in CSGO, where you have a buy page where you're able to buy new weapons. And depending on kills and wins and what you do throughout the match, kind of grants you a different amount of money. So first of all, I want to talk about the agents. So first off, I want to describe kind of how this is based, I guess. So you have duelists, you have sentinels, you have initiators, and you have controllers. So essentially, duelists are your typical fraggers, so people who are meant to hold their own and just full-on try to kill as many people as they can, or at least deal a lot of hurt to the enemy team. And then you've also got sentinels, which kind of try to defend an area and just lock down areas, basically. And that's what sentinels are really good at, so they're good for kind of saving until the end of the round for attack rounds after you plant the spikes, that way you can hold that position securely, or at least save their abilities that are towards that, and I'll explain those in a second. And then you've also got initiators, which are kind of the people who will push their way into whatever location that you want to go. So they're mainly useful for attack teams. And then for defense, I feel like they're mostly good for just as a kind of a sentinel rather than a initiator. But they could be good for takebacks, taking back a objective after they've planted a spike. So it's not necessarily good to use them as a duelist, kind of as a sentinel. Once again, it's not the same thing at all, but yeah, so then you also have the controllers, which are meant to kind of shape how you want to fight, essentially. So this is meant to either lock down an area or funnel people through one area, maybe block line of sight in an area. So it's not quite the same as a sentinel, but it has very similar... Like, all of these are fairly similar to each other, but they're applied in different ways, if you know what I mean. And you'll know more is what I mean as I start to describe them. But the first one, or the first 5 I'm going to talk about, are the ones that you get when the game first starts. Because when you start the game, you start off with being able to choose a character. Now, right now, there are 11 characters, and each person is only allowed to have... basically, each team is allowed to only have one of each character on the other team, so you can't have, like, 2 Brimstones or 2 Raises, 2 Breaches, which these are the characters' names, by the way. And because each of their abilities are unique, but the enemy team can have the same people as your team does, and there's actually specific quips that your characters will do if that is the case, which you can turn off kind of the heroes or whatever you want to call them, the agents. You can turn off their voice lines if you want, if they annoy you. I know that I'm kind of indifferent about, like, sometimes I like to turn them off, but most of the time I don't really care. But yeah, so the first five I'm going to talk about are Brimstone, Jet, Phoenix, Sage, and Sova. So for one thing, they give you each of the four different archetypes, which is, once again, the Initiator, the Controller, the Sentinel, and the Duelist. So the Controller that they give you is Brimstone. So Brimstone, just like everyone else, has four abilities. Two of the abilities are just that, they're called abilities. Then you also have a third ability, which I like to call the passive ability. And then you also have a fourth ability, which is the ultimate ability. So essentially the two abilities that your character has, you will actually be buying in the economy system, which I'll talk about later when I start talking about the weapons. But the ones that you can get is the Stim Beacon and also the Incendiary. So the Stim Beacon is worth 100, while the Incendiary is worth 300. And this is also one of the, out of several occasions, that you're actually able to buy your passive ability. And you can buy this for 100, but the reason I call it a passive ability is because... basically, every single round, it will refresh, and it will also refresh during the round after a certain set amount of time. I'm pretty sure it's the same amount of time for everyone, but I'm not entirely sure about that, and I'm pretty sure it's about 1 minute is what it is, or like 50 seconds or 45 seconds, something like that. But it will passively regain its own abilities, and then also the ultimate abilities... they don't have any price to them, nor can they passively charge. You have to get kills, and I don't know if it's also win games. I'm still not entirely sure how the ultimate actually works in this. All I know is that you will get it by playing the game, so don't worry about it all too much. But essentially the two abilities that Brimstone has, once again, he has the Stim Beacon. So the Stim Beacon, you can have two of these at the same time. And you are able to throw them on the ground, essentially. And when you throw them on the ground, they give you a boost that essentially increases your fire rate. That's actually pretty much it. It just grants you rapid fire. But if you do leave the area, there is a cooldown until rapid fire is what it's called, runs off. So this is kind of like Minecraft. If you think of Minecraft, if you know about the beacons in the game, the beacons will give you a certain power-up ability. So think of this as haste, essentially. And once you walk far enough out of the distance of the beacon, you will still have it for a couple of seconds before it goes away. This is the same exact case. And obviously you can have two of these. Once again, this is really good for if you are pushing into an area. And essentially this like allows you to have three of your teammates if you all are holding the same angle. If you throw one of these Stim Beacons down, it's really good because then everyone on your team will have increased fire while the other team will not, which means that you can have a higher damage output than them. And it sounds OP, but it really isn't. I actually don't consider it that OP at all. It doesn't have that big of a radius, and most of the time in this, people are moving around a lot. So it doesn't help all too much, but it does make it pretty powerful depending on what weapon you have, of course. But this is more of something that you want to communicate with your team, and it doesn't last too long either. So it's not like something that you can like completely anchor down with. And then onto the other ability, which is the Incendiary. So essentially this is a grenade launcher, that will bounce once off of any surface, including the ground, walls, ceilings, anything. And then once it hits the second time, it will create a circle, an area of effect of fire. So it's pretty nice. And actually, let me rephrase how it bounces. It bounces once off the ground, no matter what. So this can bounce like three times off of walls with each other, but as soon as it hits the ground twice, it's done. That's when it hits the ground. So you can use these to shoot them around corners by bouncing them off of walls, or you can have it just land straight in front of you, or even try to do kind of like a skip shot off of the ground with it. And this is a pretty good area. You do run, basically like walking from one side to the other, you lose about 20 health, I want to say, and you have 100 health in total. So it's pretty good for stopping that, like stopping people trying to walk through. And if people do try to walk through, it doesn't inhibit their walking speed or make them flinch or anything. All it does is deal about 20 damage. Obviously, if they stand in it for longer, they'll take more damage. If they don't stand it for in it as long, then they'll take less damage. But yeah, so his passive ability, essentially you have this gadget on your arm where you are like, you kind of pull up a map and you're able to select different locations on the map. So you are able to have three of these. And by the way, the incendiary, you can only have one of until you buy it the next round. But essentially these, you are able to click on the map to set a certain location. And then if you right click again, then it will actually send them down. And this essentially creates a ball of smoke in that area that you can't see through, or when you're inside of it, you can't see inside of it either. And it is really powerful. And you are also, this also depends how many you have. You can have three of these smokes total, but you can only place, like you can place all three if you want, but you can also just place two of them. You can place one of them at a time, anything like that. But yeah, it's what's interesting about these smokes as well is that if it's an enemy smoke, you're able to tell that it is an enemy smoke because it will have kind of like red in it. It'll have like these red little, I'm not exactly sure how to describe it, but it's obvious if it's an enemy because it has a bunch of red inside of it. So don't worry about trying to think of whether or not it is your team smoke or their team smoke. But I see Brimstone as kind of a character that is better off with the team. Then again, that's how a lot of these characters are going to go, especially in any tactical game, really. That's kind of how it goes. But his ultimate ability is kind of interesting. It's kind of like an airstrike. Another thing that's cool is that when you pull up the map on your gauntlet or whatever Brimstone has, it actually shows you what the area is that it fires in. So when you use it, it creates this charge up, essentially, that is visible to anyone that is nearby it. And then it comes down with basically this huge laser. So think of it like Halo when the Covenant are glassing a planet. That huge beam that comes down is essentially what this is. And it'll do massive amounts of damage to you. So I'm pretty sure if you stand inside of it, it will completely kill you. I think it does like exactly 100 damage from when it lands to when it finishes. So it all depends on kind of who you get. And so this is really useful for if you know that someone is holding in a certain room, you are able to completely deny them of going into that room for a couple of seconds, or even kill them if you're lucky. I really don't see this as too much of a getting a kill tool, but more of it as a blocking off an area for a few seconds and dealing some damage type tool. I really don't want to expect any damage from it, because if I or not any damage, but any kills from it, because if I do, then I know I won't. But I have also seen this kill groups of enemies a lot of times, so your hopes will it's pretty good chance that you will still kill people with it, but at least the earlier that you play this game. Once people start getting used to this game, it'll obviously change from that, but yeah. So on to the next character. One of the first characters you get is Jet. So she is a duelist. So once again, a fragger type of person. So her first two abilities that you'll have to buy. So one, you have the Cloud Burst, which is worth 100, but you can have three of them. So this one is essentially just a smoke bomb. It's as simple as that. You quite literally throw it. There is, like, if you're holding it, you can't, or let me rephrase that. You can't hold it in your hand. as soon as you press the button, it will fire. And it has a pretty, good arc. I mean, it pretty much goes exactly how you'd expect any arc to go in a game. And it creates the same size of smoke bomb as Brimstone's does. Once again, I mean, it's pretty much exactly the same thing. The only way you can tell Brimstone's from hers is a typical looking smoke bomb where it is a gray color, but Brimstone's looks kind of brown. So that's how you tell the difference between the two of those. That's kind of how you tell who fired what. So she has three of those you can carry at a time. They're each worth 100, so it only pays 300 to fully stock her up with these smoke bombs. And then you've also got her other ability, which is called Updraft. You can have two of these, and they are also worth 100. So 500 total to get these. So essentially, when you use this, your character will fly in the air. This is a VTOL ability, basically, where you will just go straight up and you'll come straight back down. You are able to move forward, backward, left, right, everything. You can still use all of your direction keys when you're using this ability, but you do not hover at all. As soon as you reach the top of your updraft, you go back down. The main use for this is either kind of scouting or getting to areas that other agents would not be able to go. So essentially being able to get line of sights that other agents could not. So there are a couple other agents that you'll see that kind of have the same ability. But it's a bit different. So this is a very agility type situation. And that's kind of what Jet is. She is a very agile type of person, able to get around quickly anywhere. Which leads on to her passive ability, which you can only have one of at a time. And this is called the Tailwind. For one thing, it's quite literally just you dash forward. So, like, if you think of pretty much any Star Wars game, you have, like, that force dash type of thing. It's kind of like that. I wish I could compare this stuff more to Overwatch, but I haven't really played much of Overwatch. Same thing with CSGO. So, because a lot of people consider this game to be a mix of CSGO and Overwatch, and sadly, I've played both of the games, but I haven't played either of them enough to really give good analogies for this stuff, which kind of sucks, but yeah, it's a really fun game. I've already played this game more than I've played both of the other games combined, if that tells you anything. But her last ability is called the Blade Storm. And also, I realized I didn't say what either of Brimstone's main abilities were. Like, his passive ability is called Sky Smoke, and his ultimate ability is called the Orbital Strike. Jet's is called Blade Storm. And essentially, when you use this, you will pull up a bunch of knives that are around you, 5 in total to be exact. And you are able to press left click in order to fire one at a time. And these do a massive amount of damage. I'm not quite sure exactly how much they do. All I know is that it's a one-shot headshot no matter what piece of armor you're wearing. And I'll get into armor later. And you are able to use any of your other abilities while you're using this. Which is really nice and makes you really powerful as well. I'm pretty sure as well, these knives will actually charge back, or at least that you can keep them. I'm not entirely sure about that. All I know is that you can put it away, and you can pull it back out, and it will still have the same amount of knives. Now, you can also press right-click in order to fire all of the ones that you have currently. So you can, if you fire two at people, and then there is someone else who came up to you that you know is full health for whatever reason, you can just right-click and fire all of them at the same target. I would not recommend doing that while you have all 5, because that is just simply overkill. Not to mention that these fire as fast as your trigger finger can. So definitely use these tactically, but they are also a complete brute force type of situation, and is the reason why she is a duelist. So on to the next character. Another one of the first 5 that you get is Phoenix, who is another duelist. And essentially, Phoenix is, well, for one, he's a fragger, but I also kind of consider him a bit of a controller as well, and an initiator of sorts. It depends on how you play him. He is much more of a flex than I consider him a duelist with how you can play him, because for one thing, you have his first ability, which is called Blaze, and well, for one, it is worth 200, and you can only have one of these at a time. And essentially, this creates a wall of fire. Now, this is paper thin when you're standing at the edge of the wall. There is no like depth to it at all, but it does create a fairly big actual wall. And I'm not entirely sure how long it lasts. It seems to last for about 15 to 20 seconds. But yeah, so this is good for blocking line of sight completely. And it doesn't do much damage when you walk through it. It probably does like 2 or 3 damage when you try to walk straight through it because of how thin it is. So this is mainly to block line of sight. This is not good for completely blocking off an area. So be careful because people will walk through it and just start firing. So you do have to be careful about that. One thing I do have to point out is that all of Phoenix's abilities, when it produces fire, which is 2 of his abilities to be exact, if you stand inside of that fire, it will heal you, which is very powerful if you know how to use it correctly. So onto his next ability, which is a kind of flash bomb of sorts. It's called Curveball, and it is worth 200 each. And you can have 2 of these, like I said. And essentially, when you pull it up, because you will hold it before you throw it, and you are able to press either left click or right click. Now, if you press left click, it'll turn left when you throw it. And if you press right click, it'll turn right when you throw it. Now, you have to be pretty much right at a corner in order for it to actually curve around correctly. Either you will blind yourself or even your teammates as well. And this is exactly how I said, it blinds people. It's essentially a flashbang that you can throw around a wall. If people are staring directly at it, then it will, of course, flash you. And it has a fairly big range to it as well. So it's very helpful for if you're about to push into a room, and if you don't have an initiator, then that is pretty much your best bet if you have a Phoenix on your team. And it's really helpful in general if you know that someone is low, but you don't have either much ammo or as good of a gun that they do, so you can flash them and then move towards them. But I will say that if people see that thing turn around the corner, they will turn around. It will flash them, but not for nearly as long. Unless they're really far away, then it won't flash them at all. The passive ability for Phoenix is a Molotov, essentially. It's called Hot Hands, and you only have one of these at a time. Now, you can either have a left click or right click once again. Now, the left click, you throw it far. And once again, if you stand inside of this, it will heal you. It doesn't last long at all, but it has a very big area of effect. It also doesn't do much damage, in my opinion. So that's why I consider him more as a controller, because it kind of just blocks off areas, makes people feel kind of threatened, instead of it actually dealing damage at all. But if you do press right click, it kind of stunts the throw, so it kind of it actually shows it as overhand versus underhand. If that kind of indicates anything, because underhand typically is used to throw stuff at a shorter distance, and that is how that works exactly. So you don't have to look down when you're throwing it. You're able to just press right click, and it basically throws it within like a meter of you, which is really nice. And now on to his final ability, Phoenix's final ability. It's called Run It Back. And essentially, when you use this, you have a timer that you will see appear in the middle of your screen. It doesn't really inhibit anything, so it doesn't like block your ability to shoot or ability to see, really, because it's pretty see-through. But what's really nice about this is that you can deal the full damage of your weapons, but if someone, quote-unquote, kills you, and I'm pretty sure you have, like, 10 health or something like that as this, you will actually go back to the spot that you were, that you started this run it back. It quite literally is his name. It's Phoenix. So you can be using this, to essentially be born back from the ashes, I guess. I don't know. But one problem that there is with this ability, it is fairly overpowered. But one thing is that you can see an orange circle on the ground for when, I'm not entirely sure how to, so there's an orange circle on the ground when you activate it where you were standing. So essentially, if someone either sees you activate the ability or if they walk up onto that orange circle on the ground, they are able to wait there. And when you teleport back, you do have an animation that you have to go through before you're able to pull back out any weapons. So they will be able to shoot you in the back and kill you before you can even do anything. Which sucks, but that's because the ability is so overpowered. I shouldn't say it's so overpowered, but it's very powerful. So they do give you something to kind of draw you back. Another character that you get at the very beginning of the game would be Sage. So Sage is the sentinel that you get, and once again, sentinels are the defensive experts in the game. And essentially, her two abilities, her first ability is the barrier orb, which is worth 400. So it's fairly powerful, it's fairly expensive, but that's because it's fairly powerful. So essentially, when you press this ability, you are able to see where you're going to place this. And when you do place it, a wall appears. And the wall actually grows. It doesn't just instantly appear. So that means that you can actually place it directly underneath of you, and it will actually put you on top of the wall. Now this actually has thickness to it, unlike the Blaze ability that Phoenix has. This actually has thickness to it. And it creates four kind of cubes, I guess. These cubes will break over time. Like, they'll slowly become more and more damaged, and they can even be damaged by either stabbing it by a knife or shooting it. And it doesn't take too much damage, but it does also take a fair amount of damage. So it's pretty good to lock down an area because it blocks any sight. It's only slightly higher than the actual agent themselves. But it is helpful for one, this is kind of one of the things where I was talking about, like, Jet is the only one who can get to areas. That's why I was saying kind of, because you can use this ability to grow this barrier beneath you and then jump onto areas once again that people wouldn't expect you at. But the only thing is that if they see a wall, they can expect you more than just if Jet was up there. Not to mention this wall doesn't go nearly as high as Jet's updraft can. But it is fairly powerful at locking down an area, especially with it being four cubes. You can't just break the entire wall at once. You have to break each cube separately. So it basically creates four ice cubes. That's kind of what it looks like. All of this stuff looks like ice cubes. Now you have you also have a slow orb, which is your other ability, which is only worth 100. And that's to make up for the wall being worth 400. And you can have two of these at a time. Now, this one doesn't have, it feels like it should have a dual, like an alternate fire to it, where you're able to throw it, kind of like Phoenix's Molotov. But this one you can only throw far, which means that you'll have to throw it straight down at your feet. You'll have to look straight down at your feet if you want to shoot it kind of lower. But essentially anyone, including yourself, who stands within this, slow orb radius gets quite literally slowed down. So it's really good for, it's a huge radius too. Like, I'm not like it, it is very powerful because it'll completely lock down a room if you can't just wall it off. It will completely lock down a room and will still give you a line of sight, obviously. But it's really helpful because obviously people have to sit still. It makes them an easier target. And they can't even get to somewhere as quickly. It doesn't last all that long, but it does last for like about, I want to say like 10 seconds before it disappears, which is pretty nice. And obviously every second counts within this game. So you also have your passive ability. Your passive ability, you only have one of. Now you can, this is one that has an alternate fire. So essentially you can press left click in order to heal an agent that you are currently looking at that is nearby you. But you can also right click in order to heal yourself. So this will heal you back up to 100. This will not heal your shields at all. So this is fairly good. It'll heal you over time. And this is actually just called simply the healing orb. Everything is called orbs in this, for this character. I don't know why. But then her ability is really powerful. It is called Resurrection, and it's exactly what it sounds like, where you are able to resurrect a fallen teammate. And this sounds powerful, but when you're actually using it, it kind of is powerful, but it's hard to describe because since it's hard to get the abilities and you have 12 rounds before you swap sides and you have 13 rounds that you have to win, it doesn't feel all that powerful since you can't use it like every round, but it definitely gives you a much higher chance of winning than other characters' abilities do when they use them. So I can see it as overpowered in that sense. All of these characters' abilities, like their ultimate abilities, are really powerful. I think this game was very good at balancing their stuff out, essentially. We still have a lot more characters to go through, and we're already taking up like 40 minutes. So on to Sova. So Sova is the initiator that they give you. So once again, the initiators are the people who are meant to push into an area, essentially. They're meant to help you break any defenses that are in the way, or make you more confident about pushing into an area. So his first ability is the Owl Drone. So the Owl Drone, when you use it, you can only have one at a time, but first of all, you have to fire it off of your arm. So it's not like a once you press it, it's out there type of thing. You do still have to fire it, which gives it another second of deployment time, essentially. But you have about 10 seconds to use the drone. And while you are using it, you are able to... Well, for one thing, since you're flying around in this drone, you can kind of just look around and do whatever, recon an area. It's not risking your own life. It's just risking a stupid drone. About 10 seconds. It has some health, but it really is pretty much just one shot. And if you actually see someone, if they don't destroy it, you are actually able to fire at them essentially a bolt that will track them. And they actually have to take a couple seconds in order to pull the tracking bolt out of them. And that mechanic goes for a few abilities in this game. And you'll see what other abilities I'm talking about. But you will have to pull the bolt out. But this will be able to track someone until they pull out that bolt. Which is very good. And then you also have your other ability, which is a shock bolt, in which case you can have two of these, and you can fire them. And obviously, the longer that you hold it, because it's a bow that you have, essentially, and the longer that you hold it means that the farther it will shoot. And another really interesting thing about this is that if you right-click, you can actually make it bounce off of a wall. So you can have it bounce off of up to two walls, or you can make it not bounce at all, and every time that you right click it switches between those different modes. And this makes you like, and bouncing it off of a wall twice doesn't sound very effective, but it honestly is if you can figure out kind of what areas that would be helpful in. When it lands, it essentially creates this orb that is about the size of a smoke bomb, I want to say. That it'll deal damage to people. So then you also have your passive ability, which is the recon bolt. And I know I'm talking fast, but like this will be a very long episode because of how much stuff there is in this game. And I want to essentially give you a feel of these different characters. So yeah, so you have the Recon Bolt next, which has the exact same bouncing function and firing function as the Shock Bolt does, but instead this time around, when it lands, it creates an area of effect that is visible on the map in the corner of your screen, and it will essentially show anyone that the Recon Bolt actually has visibility to. So if you're within the area of effect of the Recon Bolt, but it's behind a wall, it will not actually spot you. So it has to have direct visibility to you. So it's pretty good. And you also have his ultimate ability, obviously, where you are able to... I'm not entirely sure how to explain this. Basically, you have a certain amount of time, or shots even, if you want to describe it like that. And essentially, you create this huge line of sight. So, like, as you're pulling back the drawstring for this ultimate ability, you'll be able to see a huge tunnel in which the shot will take place. So, this shot will go through any walls whatsoever. I'm not sure if it actually has a range or if it will just go as far as it can. I'm pretty sure it does have a range, but so you can't just shoot it through the entirety of the map. But it is fairly powerful. It does a lot of damage to people. You only get 3 shots out of it or less because, like I said, it's on a timer. So you have to be shooting all of the shots directly, like back to back with each other. Otherwise, you won't get a chance to fire all 3 of them. But yeah, so it's fairly powerful, and since this person is more of a recon person, it is really helpful if you do recon beforehand, or if you know where people are beforehand, so that way you are able to shoot them. And if you do hit someone, it actually, kind of beacons them or tracks them kind of exactly how your recon bolt does, where it'll outline them essentially. So I'm not going to go through every character like I just did. Those are just the first 5 that you start out with. But the other duelists that you get Raze, who, like I said, is a duelist, and she works with explosives. So she has like a bot that you can buy that will go about and try to follow people and blow them up, which is really funny. She also has like this satchel that won't deal any damage, but basically make her be able to move around. And so that's another character that I said is like Jet, where she's able to get to places where other people can't. And then her passive ability is essentially a cluster grenade. And then you also have her ultimate ability, which is awesome because it is a rocket launcher. There is another duelist who is Reyna. And essentially she has an ability that is able to blind people. Then she's also able to essentially take the life force off of people or make herself kind of go invincible for a couple seconds without her being able to shoot, though. And then you've also got her ultimate ability, which essentially makes her be able to use 2 of her abilities indefinitely until that ultimate ability ends. Which is fairly interesting, and obviously if you get, if you do get a kill while you're using that ability, it actually refreshes itself. So more controllers that there are. There's 1 more controller in the game, 2 more controllers. You have Viper, who is essentially someone who just uses poison in various different forms. You have her 2 abilities, where one of them you are able to essentially fire this poison dart that creates about the same area as the Molotov kind of effect. And then you also have a poison cloud and a toxic screen. So the poison cloud essentially creates a smoke bomb that is venomous to or poisonous to anyone who walks inside of it. Then you also have her toxic screen, which is essentially like Phoenix's blaze ability, where it creates this firewall. But the thing about those 2 that's very interesting is that it actually uses a kind of fuel, and both of those things will use fuel, and if you run out, then the abilities will deactivate, but if you gain fuel back, you are able to reactivate them, which is really powerful, and you can obviously deactivate them and reactivate them at will. And then her ultimate ability is really powerful because it creates essentially this box around you that is completely venomous, or completely poisonous to anyone who walks in. And if you stay inside of that area, it will stay up until either you die or you leave there for a certain amount of time, which is really powerful. And you can really lock down an area with that. The other controller is Omen, and Omen has one ability where he is able to kind of look to where he wants to teleport and then teleport to that location. Then he also has this orb that he can kind of shoot. It can go through walls and pretty much anything, and blinds and deafens anyone it touches. Then he also has the smoke, which has a really interesting display of how it's actually used, where it kind of brings up the map, and you really have to know the map well in order to use it. But it's really powerful, and it is just a normal kind of smoke screen. And this one, once again, is different than like Brimstone and Jets, where this one is actually gray instead of silver or brown. And his final ability, you're able to teleport to anywhere on the map, and it actually completely darkens the map kind of like into a fog of war when you're actually doing this, which is pretty cool. And then you also have another initiator, who is called Breach. And essentially he has an ability where he can damage people through walls. And then he has another ability where he's able to blind people through walls. He has another ability where, which basically, once again, is he's able to damage people through walls. Except for this one, he can also use in front of him, not just through walls like his one ability is like. And then he also has his special ability, which is exactly like his passive ability, except for it just does more damage, basically, and has a bigger range. So he's a fairly boring character, but also fun character at the same time. Like, his abilities don't sound that fun, but when you actually use him, he's fairly fun, and can be powerful if you can use him right. But the other sentinel that you have in the game is called Cypher, and essentially he has, like, this tripwire, which kind of when people walk through it, they get stuck in place and they'll get kind of pinged, I guess. And they are able to be destroyed, but they kind of go invisible, about the same visibility as Legion's goo mines in Rainbow Six Siege. And then you also have his cyber cage, which is when people stand on top of it, it'll activate to create like this kind of cylinder, which... you can't shoot through it, and it kind of blocks vision, and it even plays an audio cue. At least I'm pretty sure you can't shoot through it. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't used Cypher yet, because I will tell you about kind of how you can get new characters in the game. So you also have his Spy Cam, which is a passive ability, which essentially, it's really interesting. You can place it anywhere within a certain amount of range, and if it sees someone, it will actually become visible. And it will, kind of shoot a tracking dart at people and it will track them. So that's another character that has a tracking dart, type ability. And then his ultimate ability, if you can find a dead agent, you are able to spot everyone on the map for a certain amount of time, and it tracks them. And there's no way to get, like, any tracking darts off of you or anything like that with this one. It is just, it's kind of like Kavera's interrogation. You are just able to see where they are. And it's really powerful, actually. So those are all the characters. There are all sorts of different people. I'd recommend having at least one of each of the different archetypes, so controller, duelist, initiator, and sentinel. And obviously it kind of gives you that setup at the beginning where you can have one of each, except for duelist, which you'll have two of, which is kind of ideal. So I'd recommend kind of keeping that same playstyle. But how you unlock new characters. So essentially you can start, when you first start out, you start out with this contract that gives you, that basically by winning games or even losing games, you can earn a certain amount of XP, or you can even complete challenges, which there are daily challenges and just regular challenges that will earn you XP. Essentially by completing those, you'll actually be able to, get... different cosmetics and stuff like that in the award system, and at tier 5 and tier 10 you will be able to get a free agent unlock system or award, which you're able to unlock one of the non-base five of the agents. And after that is over, you're able to equip a contract from another character. Now, with the first five you get, you still have all of, you have tier 1 through 10 for every single agent. And for the ones that you originally had, so the first five that you originally had, you still have tier 1 through 10 that still needs to be unlocked. Now, the ones that you unlocked with the free agent card will actually have tier 1 through 5 unlocked for you. Because what you can do is for the locked characters, you're able to actually equip those contracts, and once you reach tier 5, you will unlock that character. Now, you can also not do that, and you can select a character in order to unlock their tier so that you can get other cosmetic items, but honestly, I would rather get other characters instead of cosmetic items for the game. What's really interesting is just the fact that, like, it's every time that you complete these contracts, you can even switch these contracts out with each other. You don't have to do that contract until you're done with it, which is really nice. So that makes it really good. So now to get on past the agents and stuff and to get on to kind of the weapons. So when you first start out, you start out with a sidearm called the Classic, which is completely free within the economy, and a knife. And each round you start out with $800, or I shouldn't say that, but when you first start out, you start out with $800. Now, you are able to buy new weapons with this, and also when you swap sides, so when you swap from attacker to defense or vice versa, you will actually get, you will completely get reset, and you will get, the 800, and whoever's on the losing side will actually get the light armor shield, because you are able to buy light armor and also heavy armor. So essentially, light armor will absorb 66% of total damage taken, and it will break after it has absorbed 25 damage. And the heavy shield is the same thing, except for instead of 25 damage that it absorbs 50 damage. Now, the light shields are worth 400, while the heavy shields are worth 1,000. And so this is kind of where the money comes in, where you're able to buy abilities, you're able to buy armor. And then now we're going to be talking about the weapons. So first off, you have the sidearms. You have five different sidearms that you can get. So you have the Classic, which is completely free no matter what. And the thing that I really like about this game is that it has, for one thing, it has alternative fire for everything. Not for everything, but for most weapons. But it also tells you every bit of information you need to know about the game. So it tells you what the primary fire is for the weapon. So like for the Classic, you have semi-automatic, while you have the fire rate being 6.75 rounds per second. For the alternative fire, it is a 3-round burst, which I wouldn't actually call it a 3-round burst. It's more like a shotgun where it shoots 3 bullets at the same time. And it has an increase of spread when it comes to that, obviously. And then its fire rate becomes 2.22 rounds per second instead. And then you also have, it tells you what the damage is. So like, it's like the max range is really 50 meters for anything. So you have 0 to 30 meters, which is, for the body is 26, for the head is 78, for the leg is 22. And then from 30 to 50 meters, a body shot is 22 damage, head shot is 66 damage, and a leg shot is 18 damage. And once again, you have 100 total health, unless you have shields on, which will add either 25 or 50. And every single weapon gives you this ability. Or not gives you this ability, but gives you the chance to see everything that there is about it. Only complaint I have is that you are not able to see this in the home screen, because you will have a collection screen that you can look at where you can see all of your weapons that you have. And all you can look at with those is how you can customize it, which is kind of frustrating. But when you load into the game, you will be able to see all this stuff. You can also load into a training range, which you could do various stuff in, but it will tell you the price of everything. You're able to put on like infinite ammo and stuff like that. You're able to try out every character, even if you haven't unlocked them yet. And you are also, able to look at the entire economy system. So you're able to see what every weapon is able to do. And so, yeah, that is pretty cool. But essentially, you have the shorty as well, which is another sidearm, which is worth 200 and is a double barrel sawed off shotgun. And then you also have the frenzy, which kind of is like the CZ from either CSGO or from Rainbow Six Siege, if you're thinking of the C7. And then you also have the ghost, which is kind of the same thing as the classic, except for it has it's a bit slimmer and it has a suppressor on the end, and it even does more damage. It does a lot more damage than the classic does, which is surprising because usually games, when they put a suppressor on something, they like to minimize the damage for some reason. And then you also have the sheriff, which is basically the deagle, and this is a one-shot headshot no matter what, except for if it's above 30 meters and someone's wearing heavy shields. So pretty good chance that you will instant headshot them, because it does 145 damage from 30 to 50 meters with the headshot. And this is kind of like a Rhino. So it has a revolver type situation where it has six rounds in it. And this is kind of where wall penetration comes into, because you have low wall penetration, you have medium wall penetration, and you have high wall penetration, which is another thing that it lists in that kind of information box. It also tells you what the magazine capacity is as well. But essentially how wall penetration works is, depending on how much a bullet has to go through a wall in order to fully penetrate it, it'll be like worth different amounts. So essentially, with low wall penetration, you're able to shoot through the very corner of some kind of frame of something. And you can tell if it's penetrating through something if you see a bullet hole in it. If all you see is like a kind of just like a little dent in the wall, like some cracks in the wall, then that means it didn't go through the wall at all. But a low penetration means that you can just shoot through the corner of stuff, so nothing too big. Medium wall penetration means that you can shoot through a little bit more material, like a thin wall. And then you have high penetration, which will shoot through anything. It will completely just go through it, and you don't have to worry at all about this type of stuff. And once again, this is in the information box that you can look at. So you also have two SMGs that you can have. One of them is worth 1,000, one of them is worth 1,600, and I also realized I didn't say the rest about the sidearm. So the Frenzy, which is the fully automatic sidearm that you can have, is 400. The Ghost, which is just the more powerful classic, is worth 500, and the Sheriff, which is the Rhino, is worth 800. So the SMGs are obviously better for close range, but this is another thing that has alternative fire. So essentially the alternative fire for the primary weapons that you can have, because you can have one primary weapon, one sidearm, and the knife. But essentially, the alternative fires, like, let's use the Spectre, for example. The alternative fire for the Spectre is basically ADSing. So when you're using the Spectre, you have it as fully automatic, and the fire rate is 13.3 rounds per second. Now, the alternative fire is, for one thing, you look down a scope, and it has a spread reduction, and then it also decreases the fire rate. Now, what's interesting is you have guns that are like the Stinger, which when you zoom, it actually creates a four-round burst instead of it still being fully automatic. So, like the Stinger, when you are just like firing it without ADSing at all, or right-clicking is the alternative fire, but essentially it will just be fully automatic, and then when you aim down sight with the Stinger, it will make it into a four-round burst instead, which is really interesting. And it also makes it four rounds per second instead of 18 rounds per second, because obviously you can use one burst at a time. I'm not entirely sure, because it seems better when you're just using that, but obviously, when you're ADSing, you're actually getting a spread reduction, because that's pretty much what ADSing always means when it comes to these guns, is spread reduction. So essentially you're able to hit longer ranges, just not as much damage. So onto the shotguns, you have the Bucky and the Judge. The Bucky is worth 900, while the Judge is worth 1,500. And the Bucky has terrible registration. It's not even just that the game doesn't register the hits, it's just that the Bucky has such a big range to it that you'll pretty much always hit someone, but you'll do like no damage to them, which kind of sucks. So what's interesting about the Bucky, though, is that its alternative fire is actually a kind of an airburst is what it's called. And so it's essentially like this, like, I don't really know how to describe it. It's the same thing as the primary fire, except for it keeps a tighter spread, and, cause it fires the same amount, like it fires the same fire rate per second. It's also semi-automatic, but I think it's like it has to be even closer range than the primary fire is, or even the opposite of that. I'm not entirely sure how it works. But then you also have the Judge, which is 1,500, like I said before. This is a fully automatic shotgun, which has a fairly good range. Like from 0 to 10 meters, it is a body shot 17, headshot is 34, and a leg shot is 14. And obviously, and each of these shoot 12 pellets. Actually, no, the Judge shoots 12 pellets, the Bucky shoots 15 pellets. And so essentially, if you hit all 12 pellets, that's what amount it's giving you. But from 10 to 15 meters, you have 13 body, 26 head, and 11 leg. And then from 15 to 50 meters, you have 10 body, 20 head, and 9 on the leg. So it is it's a fairly good shotgun. And this one's actually consistent with its hits for the most part, because it keeps a much tighter spread than the Bucky does. I honestly wouldn't recommend using the Bucky at all. Like I personally prefer the Shorty over the Bucky, which is kind of sad. But then you have your regular assault rifles, or even just rifles as well, because one of them seems to be more of a DMR than it seems to be an assault rifle. But you have the Bulldog. You have the Bulldog, which is fully automatic, but when you zoom, it's a 3-round burst instead. Once again, that's better for a longer fire type of situation. And the Bulldog, what's actually interesting about most of the assault rifles is that it's 0 to 50 for all of their damage. There's not much diversity when it comes to range and damage, except for the Phantom. But I'll talk about the Phantom separately. So then you also have the Guardian, which is a single fire rifle. So this is more of the designated marksman rifle that I was talking to you about. And this one does 65 body damage, 195 headshot damage, and 49 leg damage. And actually, a lot of these ARs pretty much are a one-shot headshot, because you have the Vandal and the Phantom, which both do 156 when it's its best shot with the headshot. And then the Guardian will do one-shot headshot with 195, and Bulldog will only do one-shot headshot if they're not wearing any armor or at least damaged, because it does 116. It is a very good gun if you're holding a bit of a longer angle, but you also want a good fire rate, because this fire rate is 6.5 rounds per second. So this is your typical, how you typically use a designated marksman rifle in other video games, where it's meant for medium range, but it's still meant to hold longer angles at the same time, if that makes sense. I'm not entirely sure it does, but I think you know what I mean if you do, so... then you have the Phantom, which is the other case scenario, where this one works better in closer range, but it can still do work in longer range situations. So like from 0 to 15 meters, it has a body shot of 39, head shot of 156, and a leg shot of 33. 15 to 30 meters, the body shot is 35, the head shot is 140, and the leg shot is 30. And then from 30 to 50 meters, you have the body shot worth 31. You have the headshot worth 124, And then you also have the leg shot worth 26. So this is a very, it's more of an interesting weapon. This weapon needs more practice with figuring out how, kind of distance wise, how it's going to work out. But then the Vandal you have, which is basically just the Phantom, but it just has a, it has a worse rounds per second, and it doesn't have as good as a recoil or spread to it, which recoil is kind of spread. But the reason I say that is because the Vandal has exactly the same shots as the Phantom does from 0 to 15 meters, except for it has it from 0 to 50 meters. So this, it works out really well if you get lucky with how it shoots, basically is how it goes. But it is really powerful. I prefer to single fire it from longer distances. Even though the alt fire is as simple as it just reducing the fire rate and a slight spread reduction. So yeah. But then you also have the sniper rifles. So you have one that is really cheap, which is the Marshall for 1,100. And then you also have the Operator, which is much more expensive. It's the most expensive weapon you can get, which is 4,500. And essentially, these are exactly how sniper rifles work, except for the Marshall just does less damage while the Operator does more damage. The Operator will be a one-shot body shot no matter what. So essentially, the Marshall will do body shot of 101 while the Operator do a body shot of exactly 150. And obviously, if it penetrates through something, I'm pretty sure it will do less damage, so just be careful with that. And then if it's past 50 meters, it will drop off as well. I don't know exactly how the drop off works after 50 meters, but for the most part, you will not be dealing with something more than 50 meters. So you won't have to worry too much about that. But then you also have the two LMGs, which is the Ares and the Odin. So the Ares is, worth 1,600 while the Odin is worth 3,200. The Ares is more of a of an assault rifle type LMG, where it has less of a mag, so it's about 50 of a magazine, so it's about in between a normal LMG and a normal assault rifle, and it does a fair amount of damage. And this is also a gun where the fire rate increases as you're firing it, so it's pretty good, and the zoom. And I prefer zooming with this at all times because all this does is reduce its spread reduction, but it doesn't decrease how fast it's firing. Now, I don't know if it decreases how long it takes for it to get to its max fire rate, but yeah. So from 0 to 30 meters, this does 30 damage on the body, 72 damage on the head, and 25 damage on the legs. And then from 30 to 50, it does 28 damage on the body, 67 to the head, and 23 to the legs. So there's not much difference there. And it's really good just to get... I prefer getting closer with LMGs and just absolutely unloading into the area. And I just realized how bad that sounded when I after it left my mouth. But this is one of the weapons that has a high penetration, obviously. Same thing with the sniper rifles. Actually, I think the Marshall has a medium wall penetration, which is kind of weird, but, cause I remember that cause of it's kind of weird, but yeah. So then you also have the Odin, which does a lot more damage, headshot damage, leg damage, body shot damage, everything for both 0 to 30 and 30 to 50. It even does more from its 30 to 50, than the Ares does from its 0 to 30, which is kind of interesting. But this thing, it has a really bad, once you start getting it going, firing really fast, like to its max rounds per second, which is 15.6, by the way, it'll start just going all over the place, and you really have to learn how to control this in order to use it correctly. But you will instantly demolish someone with it if you use it correctly. So yeah. So now to talk about kind of how the economy works. So getting kills gets you a certain amount of money. I'm pretty sure it's about 200, while winning a round will give you even more money. And then also planting the spike will give you another 200 to 400, I'm pretty sure. So basically every single round you want to use kind of those various things to your ability. So even if you kill someone, because at the end of a round, if you kill everyone on the team or you win the game, you still have 5 seconds until the end actually, or until the round actually ends. And there are two reasons for this. One reason is that way, if there is someone that is still alive, they are able to still kill you. And a second reason for this is that, actually, there's more than two reasons, a lot more than two reasons. I shouldn't say a lot more, but another reason is that way, if the bomb still goes off within those 5 seconds before you actually win it, and you're still within that kind of area of effect of the bomb, you'll lose all your stuff. And another reason is that you can go around and figure out what the enemy had for their weapons, because you are able to then pick up their weapons and then use them the next round. So if someone had an operator and you know that they had it, you can use those 5 seconds to go and pick up that operator and use it in the next round. Because if you do die the previous round, you will not get it back, which kind of sucks, and you'll have to use your money again. And within those 5 seconds as well, the main reason why I brought it up in the first place is that if you kill everyone on the opposite team but you haven't planted the spike yet, you can actually use those last 5 seconds to plant the spike and get more money out of it, which is fairly good. And the main problem I have with this, like I have with CSGO, is that sometimes what can happen is you can be on a bad losing streak and you're not able to get yourself back up because the enemy team just has so much money that they can keep resupplying themselves. And you don't have to, like, and you're not able to even, like, afford, like, a good gun, like, the, like, at least a Stinger or something, with good shield and stuff like that. So you kind of end up going on a losing turn. I will say, for the most part, because of the abilities is what makes it so different from CSGO, because having the abilities gives you a much better advantage of getting that economy back on your side than it ever was in CSGO. Which is really nice. And another thing that's cool, if you don't have a microphone, you're able to say, you're able to click buttons that say, let's buy, I have extra credits, let's save, and you can even press want as well. So essentially, let's buy gives kind of a overall voice command from your character that just says, let's buy everything that we can this round. Because like I said, when you switch over to the other side, like when you switch from attack to defense or vice versa, you will lose all of your money and you will lose all of your weapons and stuff that you had, and you will gain back 800 with either light shields or not, depending on how your situation is going. And you can also say, I have extra credits. And when you say that, that means that someone can want a weapon. And when they want a weapon, they can right click on it. And if someone else has the funds, they can actually buy the weapon for them, which is really nice. And then the other button that you can hit is let's save. So essentially, let's save. It quite literally is a voice line for your character that says, all right, let's save our weapons, let's save our weapons, let's save our money, so that way you can buy better stuff the next round, or, like, if you're playing, because, like, this game is one of those few games that you can actually purposefully throw around, which is kind of weird, not necessarily, like, completely throwing it, but, like, trying to do as much damage as you can with just the classic and a knife type thing. So you're basically throwing the round, but at the same time, you're still trying to do a little bit of hurt on their side, so that way you can just gain a little bit more money. So this is kind of how it works if you're losing and you need to gain your money, so that way you can get, like, a Phantom or something, so that way you can try and boost your guys' economy more later on. So that's pretty much all I have to say for this game. I didn't want to just leave it off with like a base review type of stuff, like these are the type of weapons you have, these are the type of characters that you have. I wanted to give you guys a bit more of an in-depth explanation for this stuff, so that way you know what you're getting yourself into. Like it's really interesting having 4 abilities per character. Not to mention that the economy accounts for you having to pay for your actual abilities, your shields, and your weapons. It makes it very interesting to play. Not to mention that the game is very oriented on you trying to remember kind of what each of the agents, different agents you can do, like each agent that people can have, and then also kind of tracking what their abilities, like what abilities have been used on their team. And even knowing the map is really important, because like Sova, for him using his recon bolt, you can have it bounce around corners and stuff, and you can have it bounce around the map in ways that were either designed and put into place, or even weren't designed and put into place, or are made to go into really complicated areas that are hard to find for the enemy team. Not to mention that each ability is greatly countered by another, or a lot of abilities are similar but not exactly the same as each other, like the Sage's wall versus Viper's wall versus Phoenix's wall. Like, all of them are exactly what they are, walls, but they each have different abilities and effects that they can have, and it's really interesting how it all works with each other. And they did a really good job of balancing everything out. Obviously, some people think that some stuff is really OP while others don't, but that's how it goes for every game. And it will take a little bit to establish what is actually overpowered and what actually isn't. Because that's always how it goes for games, is when people first join, they're like, oh no, this character is super OP. But then as you go, you're like, oh, this character isn't actually overpowered as I thought. So it will take a little bit to see kind of how the game interacts with just other players and whatnot. Once, like, as we start getting a bigger base for the game, once people start getting more experience, it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out, quite literally. So I give this game a full-on... I want to give them a 10 out of 10 because they did a great job with this, especially since Riot Games has never done anything like this game before. Obviously, they've done something with an economy, which is League of Legends. They have that, which has an economy, but that economy is completely different to how this economy works. Not to mention that they haven't really done anything I don't think they've ever done a first-person shooter before, especially something that's a tactical shooter. So it's just... it's interesting that this game, or this company that hasn't done anything like this, did it better than CSGO, in my opinion at least. They did it better than CSGO. I think if CSGO updated their game, like actually updated it, then it would be better than this. But for this being their first ever game that is like this, I give them a 10 out of 10 for this. I mean, there are some bugs and everything, but that is to be expected. But there's nothing too game-breaking. Everything is very well balanced. Their beta ran for a while and people gave them a lot of feedback. And it was honestly a good amount of time for a beta to be running for a game that is completely new to the company. So I give my props to the company in general. So yeah. And then also make sure that you check out our Patreon as well. So that way you guys can support us, because even though this game is free, not all games are free. So that's another point for this game, is that you don't really have an excuse not to play it. Well, except for a crappy computer or crappy internet, but that's not the point, because it is PC only. So in order for me to basically afford future episodes, please subscribe to the Patreon. Of course, we have different tiers, just like any Patreon. Which you're able to see like bonus episodes, or you're able to see episodes before anyone else does on like Podbean, iTunes, SoundCloud, anything like that. So yeah, make sure that you check that out. And then also you make sure for the whole BLM movement that's going on, I am currently making a video right now. I'm not going to disclose too much of what it is, but I will be making sure to make an announcement on Twitter and Discord. Currently my phone's broken, so I'm not able to make any announcements on Instagram, which sucks, but I'll make sure to make announcements on those when the videos releases, and I really hope you guys watch that video, because I think it will be hopefully inspiring. But besides all of that, game on.
Find AFcast on Instagram and Twitter at AF Community for any updates on future podcast episodes. If you want to join the community Discord, find the link in the description or on the website, afcommunity.com.